Lift on our feet, please. Can somebody wave their hand and begin to appreciate the Lord? Wave your hand and begin to appreciate Jesus. Wave your hand and begin to thank the Lord. On the first day, the first Sunday of June, you are in the presence of the Lord. The first Sunday of June, you are not in a mortuary. You are not in a hospital. You are not in prison in the first Sunday of June, but you are in the presence of God. You are in the sanctuary of the Most High. Lift up your voice and begin to appreciate Him. Begin to appreciate Him. Begin to appreciate Him for His faithfulness, for His mercy. Let's appreciate Him. So many people, they saw the first day of June, but this morning they are dead. They could not see the first Sunday. They saw the first day of June. They could not see the first Sunday of June. But that is not our testimony. The Lord has preserved us to see this morning by His mercy. Let's appreciate Him. Let's appreciate Him. Let's appreciate the Lord. Open up your heart and be grateful to God. Somebody, I want you to open your mouth this morning and tell God how you want the service this morning to be. Just in one moment, open your mouth and tell God, how do you want the service this morning to be? Talk to God. You want it to be a Holy Ghost service? A service of visitation to His children? Open your mouth and talk to Him. Just in one moment. Talk to the Lord. We're in the Holy Ghost season. Let somebody be baptized with the Holy Ghost this morning. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down mightily among His children this morning.
You
Father, we thank you this morning. Father, we appreciate you and we give you all glory. For it is by your mercy that we are not consumed. All glory and honor, adoration be ascribed unto your name in Jesus' name. We appreciate you for your grace to bring us once again in your presence this morning. Daddy, we say may your name be praised. And as we go into the world this morning, Father, we thank you. Because we know you will open our eyes of understanding to the deep things of your word. Let the Spirit of the Lord come down. Teach us your word. Father, we know not what to say except the Spirit teacheth us. We depend on you, Holy Spirit of the living God. Come and open the deep things of your word to your children this morning. And let somebody be blessed in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. In Jesus' faithful name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So this morning, without wasting time in our Bible Sunday school this morning, we'll be looking at Noah's Ark. Noah's Ark. That's our topic this morning. And we'll look at the whole of Genesis 6 to understand why the Lord told Noah to build the ark. And what that ark means to us in this grace age. Amen, somebody. That's our study this morning. So let's look at Genesis chapter 6 from verse 1 to verse 3. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, verse 2, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they choose, verse 3. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Let's look at these three verses first. Praise God. Now, before we move on, I want us to understand the terminologies used in verse 1 and 2 first. The sons of God, they saw the daughters of men that they were fair. Who are the sons of God? And who are the daughters of men? And what does it mean to be fair? Praise God. Now, the sons of God there refers to the descendant of Adam through Satan. Remember, Adam was a son of God, created in the image and likeness of God. So, the descendant of Adam will be referred as the sons or daughters of God. Am I correct? Now, the daughters of men, who are they? Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Daughters of men, who are they? Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So if Eve has gotten a man from the Lord, and that man was Cain. Am I correct? So the descendant of that man, what will you refer them as? The sons are all the daughters of men. Praise God. Are you following somebody? Now, the word fair, what does it mean to be fair? The fair there is not talking about yellow skin. That word there, fair, means beautiful and attractive. Praise God. That is the same word we saw in Genesis 24, verse 16. Can we look at it? The same fear was mentioned in Genesis chapter 24, verse 16. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man knew her. And she went down to the well and filled the pitcher and came up. Praise God. Now, the difference between this fair here and the fair of Genesis chapter 6, this is the difference. The damsel, not damsels, one single individual among many, one single daughter among many daughters were fair, beautiful to look upon. Her own fairness was natural. Her own beauty was natural beauty. Now, in Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says, the daughters of men, all the daughters of men at the same time were fair. What did happen? That fair is not a natural fairness. It's not natural beauty. They went artificial. Is somebody hearing me? Their own was artificial beauty. But how did it happen? Praise God. That made the sons of God to be attracted to this woman. Remember that Satan had an agenda to pollute the true children of God. And he started in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. The Bible said in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, that the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field. If the serpent was more subtle than all the beasts of the field, he was more intelligent. He was more smart and cunning. That means his descendant also will be like him. Very smart and cunning people. Praise God. Also remember that the Bible says in Genesis 4:2 that Cain was a tiller of the ground. If Cain was a tiller of the ground, his descendant also will till the ground. So what happened? From tilling the ground, they have advanced in science. Remember, from that descendant, from that community of Cain, was where the scientists proceeded. So from now, tilling the ground, they advanced and exploited the minerals of the earth. Remember, Satan has an agenda. Exploited the minerals of the earth, produced cosmetics, gave their daughters, their sisters, to apply and look beautiful. From the herbs of the field, they made portions, of course, gave them to take, to consume, and maintain the figure of their body so that they can be beautiful and attractive. It's an agenda. Now, it was this seductive beauty of the daughters of men that attracted the sons of God. Remember also that in the community of Adam, in the lineage of Adam, there were also daughters born in that community. Am I correct? There were also sons born in the community of Cain. The Bible says, the sons of God, they saw these daughters of men that they were fair. They were very beautiful and attractive. And they were tempted by their seductive beauty. And they crossed over from their lineage and married them as wives. And they cohabited together. Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Remember, God gave a law. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. Can we look at it? Genesis 1, 11 and 12. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. 12. And the earth brought forth grass and herbs yielding seed, after his kind. And the trees yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Hybriding brings death, and it is against the law of God. When God saw these sons of God crossing over from their lineage to marry from the lineage of Cain, he was angry. God was grieved in the spirit, and he said, his life-giving spirit cannot continue to contend with mankind, because they were mortal and flesh and would die. And he reduced the lifespan of man to 120 years. In verse 3, Genesis 6:3. Praise the name of the Lord. Before the judgment of the flood, man could live as up to 900 and something years before dying. But immediately after the flood, God reduced the lifespan of man because of his anger to 120 years. And from after the flood till now, I think only Abraham, the father of faith, was able to live up to 175 years before he died. Moses, the prophet of law, lived for 120 years before he died. Since then, man has struggled to live up to 120. No man has seen the age of 200 years since after the flood. That was what happened. Let's see verse 4, Genesis 6, 4 and 5. It is Genesis 6, 4 and 5. There were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became the mighty men which were of old, men of renown. 5. Verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. Praise God. The phrase there, in those days, please, can you please put the next slide on the screen? In those days, refers to the period before the judgment of the earth with flood. There were giants. Hallelujah. In those days, there were giants on the earth. Now, how come about these giants on the earth? Let's trace from which lineage these giants rooted from. Giants rooted from the community of Cain. Hallelujah. Remember, when God pronounced curse upon Cain, Genesis 4 from verse 11. Let's look at it. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 11. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. The next verse. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Verse 14. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. Verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him shall kill him. Praise God. We are trying to trace from where this giant was rooted from. When God placed a curse upon Cain, Cain protested that a curse was much on him. God has driven him out of his presence, pronounced him a vagabond and a fugitive, and pronounced that any that findeth him will kill him. Who are they that will kill Cain? They are his own descendants, from people from his own lineage. It is from that lineage you see murderers. So it is from his own descendant that they will sought to kill him. And the reason why they will sought to kill him, remember, the earth was cursed again the second time by God because of Cain. And this time now, the strength of the earth to produce abundance was removed. So his descendant also that will till the earth, they will just be laboring, walking like elephants. They will be eating like ants because the earth has no strength to yield increase anymore. In that anger, they found him, they will slay him. So when Cain protested, God is a merciful God. He now said, okay, I will reduce your burden by placing a mark upon him. God placed a mark upon Cain. What was the mark? It's not a tribal mark. The mark that God placed upon Cain was increase in his size. God increased the size of Cain to a size of a giant, so that those who would want to kill him, once they see him approaching, fear will catch them, they will pick race, they will run away. That was the mark that God put upon Cain. God increased the size of Cain. That was where that word giant proceeded from. Now, when these two lineages of people, the sons of God, crossbreed to marry the daughters of men, praise God. Remember, these two lineages, they are from different two bloodlines. Are you getting me? Now, coming together in marriage, there will be a genetic disturbance. As a result of this genetic disturbance, many giant offsprings was produced. Some were giants in size. Some were giants by intellectual. Hello? It is from the family of Cain you find scientists. From the family of Cain, you see engineers. People who can bring two iron, add them together, and they will produce weapon for hunting. They are the first to build cities. They were giants, physically and intellectual, until they were called mighty men, men of renown. That is where giants proceeded. That is how come about giants on the earth. The intermingling of these two races of people produced these giants. Can we see the next slide, IT, please? Let's look at the next slide. In those days, we have treated this. The crossing of these two lineages of people, the crossing, the intermarriage of these two lineages of people caused the bloodstream of the sons of God to be perverted. As they cross over to marry from this lineage of Cain, generation after generation, their bloodstream was perverted. The righteous trait in these sons and daughters of God diminished. The revelation of God's word among his children disappeared. Evil trait increased. In those those days, the earth was filled with violence. The imagination of their thought was evil continually. Until the two races of people became one flesh. God had to raise Enoch, the seventh from Adam, to prophesy against the ungodliness of the people of his generation. Jude verse 14 and verse 15. Let's look at it. Jude verse 14 and verse 15. Jude is just one chapter. Verse 14 and verse 15. I.T. Jude, please. Amen. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all them ungodly deeds, of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all they had speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Hallelujah. Enoch, the seventh of Adam, seventh from Adam, a teacher of righteousness, prophesied upon the ungodliness of the people of his generation. To tell you how great this intermingling was. The whole earth was filled with violence. The whole people upon earth, you know, was drawn into the net of the lifestyle of the Kenic people. All the sons of God, we are drawn into the net of their sin. Praise the name of the Lord. Can we see the next slide? I see the next slide, please. And the Bible says, it repented God. This level of iniquity repented the Lord that he had created man. Numbers 23, verse 19. Can we look at it? God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Had he said, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Praise God. Not that God did not know the line, the path that man would take. He knew from the beginning. But seeing the level of corruption, the level of evil in the heart of man that he, God, created, the Bible says it repented him. Amen. Verse 8 and verse 9, Genesis 6. Let's see, as a result of this God's anger, what happened? He said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Praise God. In the midst of moral darkness, the whole earth, including the lineage of sons and daughters of God, became together, became the same as the children of the serpent. The whole earth was filled with violence. There was corruption in a high scale. But God found, the Bible said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In the midst of moral darkness, there was still a man that could believe God. In the midst of all this corruption and wickedness, there is still a man that is calling upon the name of the true God. And that is Noah. So God came down to Noah and revealed to Noah what he was about to do. And told him, he gave him instructions to build the ark. And Noah believed God and accepted to walk according to the instruction given to him by God. That was the grace Noah found. He believed God. Noah believed God and walked according to God's instructions. Praise God. Of course, our father, our daddy here have told us separately what it means by Noah finding grace. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, let's look at the genealogy of Adam. The genealogy of Adam. The genealogy of Adam. Praise God. Upon all the sons of God, it was only Noah that the Bible said he was perfect and he found grace in the eyes of God. If you read the story and account of Noah, Noah married at the age of 500 years. Genesis 5:32. He began to give birth at the age of 500 years. Meanwhile, all the first son children of God in the lineage of Adam, before the some married before 70, some before 80, highest before the age of 190, they were got married. But Noah waited till 500 years before getting married, before he began to born children. What was the cause? Look, these are the genealogy of Adam, the sons of God. There you see Adam. You see Seth, the second. Enos. You see Kenan. You see Mehelelil. You see Jared. Enoch. Methuselah. Lamech. Noah. Now, in the record of geology, it is only the name of the first son of the family that appears on the record. Only the name of the first sons of the family comes into the record of geology, because the first sons, they stand as the family tree. Life is to continue through them. And the inheritance of the family belongs to them. So if you look at this geology now, from Adam to Noah, you see that the name of Cain was not mentioned in the geology of Adam, because Cain was not from that family. He was not a son of Adam. Of course, you know, we are very used to that. Cain is not a son of Adam. Abel was not mentioned because Abel could not bear children before he was murdered. So there was nobody to bear his name. That was why his name could not come on the geology. Hallelujah. Now you notice also that Noah was the last person on that list. But Noah also had three sons. Noah had a first son, Japheth. But the name of Japheth did not appear in that record. What was the reason? I told you, Noah got married at the age of 500 years. We don't know what was the cause. The Bible did not tell us. But if he was the only righteous man found on earth as at that time, Noah may have been waiting. Remember, all his own sisters from his own community have all been corrupted. They have all taken to the evil and lifestyle of the community of Cain. So they have now become the same. Maybe Noah was looking for a righteous woman like her, like him, to marry. that was not to found anywhere. So, even Noah himself crossed over. Noah was involved in a mixed marriage. Noah picked a wife from the community of Cain. Noah picked a wife from the lineage of Cain. The wife of Noah was a daughter of Lamech. Can we see the genealogy of the serpent? You see Cain. You see Enoch. You see Irad. Metujael. You see them there. The last is Lamech. That man there, the last one there, Lamech, was the father-in-law of Noah. Noah married from the family of that man, Naamah. Naamah was the wife of Noah, and Naamah was a daughter of Lamech from the lineage of Cain. So Noah, too, was involved in a cross-marriage, cross-breeding. And that was why the name of the first son of Noah, Japheth, could not appear in the genealogy of the record of Adam. In the record of the genealogy of Adam. Because all the three sons of Noah, they were hybrid. Before you appear in the genealogy, let's look at Genesis chapter 5, verse 3. Remember Genesis chapter 5. The Bible says the genealogy of the generations of Adam. In verse 3, the Bible says something. Genesis 5:3. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness and after his image and called his name Seth. Praise God. So that means if you are a first son and for you to appear in the record of the lineage of Adam, you must be after the likeness and image of Seth, who was a son of God. Who was a son of Adam? Adam, the son of God. That is what qualifies you to be appear in the record of the genealogy. But Japheth was not a pure breed or descendant of Seth or Adam through Seth. So his name could not appear in the genealogy of Adam. Hallelujah. But God had a plan for all the three sons of Noah. God had a plan. Noah was the last firstborn in the lineage of Adam. Noah was the last. But Noah had three sons. God had a plan for these three sons. Let's look at Genesis chapter 9, verse 19. Genesis 9, verse 19. Genesis 9, 19, not 13. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. Genesis 10, verse 1. Genesis 10, verse 1. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah. Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. God wanted to set a separate genealogy with each of the three sons of Noah after the flood. The three sons of Noah were to be the progenitor of the human race after the flood. Every human being on earth today was traced to one of the three sons of Noah. And remember, the three sons of Noah, they were all hybrid. So when the Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God, you begin to see what happened from this teaching we are taking now. We are all sharpened in iniquity, and in sin did our mothers conceive us. This is what happened. And that is why you need to be born again. And to be born again is to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are not born again because you are in a church this morning. You are only born again because you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This is what happened. Let's look at the ark. Genesis chapter 6, I think from verse 12. The ark. The next slide, item. The ark. Now, Genesis chapter 6, verse 13 and verse 8, to verse 18. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shall thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shall thou set in the side thereof, with flour, second and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all the flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under the heavens, and everything that is in the earth shall die. That's the judgment of God. Now, concerning the ark, praise God. The Bible did not give a detailed description of the size of this ark. Praise God. Beyond these normal proportions of the length, the height, and the breadth. So nobody can say that exactly this is how the ark looked like. Praise God. The full description of the size of this ark was not given. But whatever it is, what is the meaning of ark? Ark is a box. Exodus chapter 2 verse 3. Exodus chapter 2 verse 3. Exodus 2, 3. Let's look at the ark in Exodus chapter 2, verse 3. IT, please. Praise God. Exodus 2, chapter 3, verse 3. And when she should not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bushes, and daubed it with shame and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the rivers of Pring. Praise God. That is the story of Moses. We're trying to see what ark is exactly, or ark is. Ark is just like a box. Praise God. But this ark of Noah, according to the description, was built in stories. Three stories. The last one, the Bible said, there was a door at the top, a window at the top, doors by the side. It was pitched in and out. That pitch there is a type of covering. It was waterproofed. The ark of Noah was waterproofed so that water, rain, will not enter into the ark. That's what it means by pitching. It was covered in and out. Hallelujah. That word pitch also points to atonement. What is atonement? atonement is to cleanse. Atonement is to pardon. Atonement is to forgive. Atonement is to disannul. Atonement is to purge away. All the souls inside Noah's ark, they were forgiven. They were pardoned. They found God's mercy. The judgment of flood against the people of the earth was not for the people in the ark. Are you getting me? Praise God. Hallelujah. So they were saved from the judgment of God by flood. Hallelujah, somebody. Now, in type, in this grace age, God constructed another ark in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is the ark of refuge for his people from the judgment of God that is coming upon this earth. Amen. You want to be saved from this judgment. The only way out is Jesus. Hallelujah. You want to be saved from this ark. I mean, from this judgment that is about to come. How do you go about it? Mark 16, verse 16. Mark 16, verse 16. Say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That is the way. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38. In Acts 16, Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized. I think there are two types of baptism there. The baptism by water and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. In Acts 2:38, when Peter preached the word of life on the day of Pentecost to 3,000 audience, the Bible says, when they heard the message of Peter, they were pricked in their heart. Amen. That means the message that Peter preach on the day of Pentecost was not a message of prosperity. Peter did not teach them how to make money. Peter preached a message of salvation. How do I know? There is nothing in the message of prosperity that can affect the conscience of a sinner. Nothing. So for them to be pricked in their heart, they had something they never heard before. And they began to inquire. The Bible said they began to ask one another, what shall we do? What shall we do to be saved? Now we have heard the truth. How do we go about it? We want to be saved. Peter told them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what baptism by water. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. That is the only condition if you want to enter into this new ark that God has constructed in this age. You want to run away from the destruction that is coming upon this earth. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is life. John 14, 6. When he said he is the way, he is the way. There is no other way outside Jesus. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. That is the only way. Any other way is the way of destruction. Praise God. Hallelujah, somebody. So when we are talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, many of us are taking it lightly. Many of us are taking it to be a joke. Praise God. We shall understand it better by and by. The hour is coming. That this program we organize, we are into now, is a very serious program. That every one of us seated here should take it very serious. That is the only ticket to heaven. Praise God. In Luke 13, verse 22. Luke 13, 22. And he went through the cities and villages, teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. That question they asked Jesus was a simple question that is, you know, what he didn't know was yes or no. But Jesus decided to give them a piece of advice. Forget about whether it's few or not. You, anything you can do to enter, do it. Heaven is a personal race. Whatever it will take you to be part of the number, do it. When Jesus say in Matthew 24, from verse 37 to 39, can we look at it? He said, as it was, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Praise God. Now, if you believe that Jesus is coming back again, all you need to do is to study the events that took place in the days of Noah before the flood. And I can tell you, those events are repeating before our very eyes now. And he said, as it was in the days of Noah, that is how it will be. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So the question we should ask ourselves this morning, am I prepared for the coming of the Lord? What this teaching is to produce in your heart, in my heart, is to learn to separate yourself. Be like Noah. Because everybody is going the same direction, does not mean that that direction is the right direction to follow. The whole population in the days of Noah were going towards one direction. Only Noah said no. Even though Noah married from the community of Ken, Noah did not corrupt his ways. Noah did not corrupt his life. Genesis 7 verse 1. Genesis 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. In a generation that all souls were corrupted. In a generation that the word of God has been perverted. People has profaned the name of the Lord in that generation. The true revelation of God's word has been watered down completely in that generation. Yet God said, only Noah he found righteous. May you be like Noah. In the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. This morning, just take a stock of your Christian life. Like I said before, Christianity is beyond religion. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is a way of life. Every other religion will end. Every other religion will never lead you to God. Religion is man's way of getting back to God after death. And that way we fail. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is the end of death. Don't be religious, be a Christian. And you cannot be a Christian until you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Christian is not those found in the church. Christians are not those who dress sanctimoniously before their church. Christians are those who have the life of Christ in them. Amen. So this morning, ask yourself, am I truly a Christian? Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, somebody. That is what this teaching tends to produce in our life this morning. As I round up, praise the name of the Lord. Christianity, it was in the city of Antioch, Acts of Apostles, chapter 11, verse 26. Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, Acts 11:26. And when he had found him, he taught him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. Why were they called Christians? Hallelujah. It's not because they are following Jesus. Praise God. They were called Christian because the people of Antioch, who were even living in sin, have as read the life of these ones and discovered that they were living exactly like their master.
Amen.
Amen. Their conduct was exactly like their master. The way they talk, the way they move, their lifestyle, they could not corrupt their ways with the people of Antioch. They look at them and say, of a truth, these ones are Christians. May the Lord have mercy upon the church. Can you bow down your heads as you talk to God in prayer?
The glimpses of truth thou hast for me, placing my hands that wonderful key that shall unwraps and set me free. Silently now I wait. Silently now I wait, ready my